Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Don't miss out on your chance to listen to 4-time Super Bowl champ Charlie Weiss on the only podcast solely devoted to everyone's favorite position in football, the quarterback. Listen for free now by subscribing wherever you get podcasts or by going to CelebrityQB.com.
Good morning, everyone. This is the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. I'm your host, Dwayne Callender. We have a Game 7 on our hands in the World Series. Lots of news to talk about in the NFL. Get into the Rangers a little bit and some MLS soccer. But, yeah, quite a bit that went on last night with the World Series. The Dodgers staving off elimination against Verlander. Chris Taylor, a huge hero in that one with his at-bats. They managed to outlast Verlander. National League rules. Verlander has to leave the game after six innings. The Dodgers take advantage of the Houston bullpen and pull out a 3-1 victory. Kenley Jansen gets the final six outs of the game, leading up to Game 7 tonight, where we've got Yu Darvish going up against most likely Lance McCullers, who was not used by the Astros last night. So quite a bit of dynamics involved there, because you got you've got a matchup of Darvish and Yuli Gurriel that I'm sure the media will talk about. So I mean, Gurriel shouldn't even be playing, in my opinion. Because, you know, when you have a suspension that begins next year because you're saying it's unfair to his teammates, that defeats the purpose of what a punishment is supposed to be. But, you know, I'm neither here nor there at this point. It's over and done with. But, yeah, so for Game 7, it's tough to figure out who truly has the advantage in this series, because, yes, the home team has won the last two Game 7s in the World Series, but, you know, I look at it as like, yeah, the Cubs won it last year, but this Astros team is deep enough that they can pull out runs again, and, you know, for the most part, Darvish did not look sharp when he came in for Game 3, you know. There's quite a bit that could go on in this Game 7 tonight. So I think it's a toss up more than anything else. We'll see how it goes, but you know, interesting game to say the least coming up shortly. So NFL news. Guess what? The Cleveland Browns were asleep at the wheel again. So, Jimmy Garoppolo goes from the Patriots to the 49ers for a second-round pick. People around the league are scratching their heads saying, how did they not get a first-round pick without realizing that Garoppolo is a free agent after the season? So, the Pats really didn't have that much leverage. People can posture all they want, saying they should have gotten a first-round pick out of the deal. They should be concerned about Brady. But guess what? Brady, at this point, is almost a confirmed vampire at this stage. You know, when he goes, Belichick is going to retire. He's not going to put up with trying to do a rebuild after Brady retires. You got to be kidding me at this point. Belichick has nothing else left to do in this league other than ride out this Brady wave and then leave Bob Kraft to figure out the cleanup process after Brady retires. So, yeah, they'll probably draft a QB in next year's draft, but I mean, that ain't Belichick's problem right now that he's concerned over. So, yeah, so Garoppolo goes to 49ers. In terms of fantasy impact, I would be shocked if Garoppolo plays this weekend. Here's some guidance as to why Garoppolo would not be playing against the Cardinals this weekend. A, he's going cross country, where he, you know, honestly is not established, so he doesn't have a home. He's got to do all that crap. He's got to learn the playbook, which is going to take weeks. You're short. You're coming in the middle of the week. So, basically, you're not going to have reps with any of the starters, normal reps that you get as the number one QB. You've got a bye week coming up. It makes far more sense for Garoppolo to sit this week, take the bye week, learn the playbook in 10-plus days, than to try to rush him out there and have him get crushed. I mean, the situation with the Colts with Jacoby Brissett, they literally had to bring him in because Scott Tolzien was so bad. But at least Brissett had a good 6 days to kind of go over the playbook. But, you know, it just was kind of pointless. It'd be kind of pointless for the 49ers for what they regard to be their future because they've committed the second-round pick. So he is the guy going forward. To try to rush him out in a regular season game when you're 0-8. I mean, there's no sense in this. Let C.J. Beathard take the beating and then, you know, start regrouping in the bye week for what the future holds for this team. So I would say Garoppolo is a stash if you have the roster spot and you're in a deep league, or if you're in a 2QB league, yeah, stash him, but don't expect him to play. You have to have another option ready in the likely event that he's not playing. So I would go that route. In terms of some of the other deals that took place, Jay Ajayi going to the Eagles is an absolute steal for the Eagles in both in regular football value. It's the Eagles were top 10 in the league in red zone touches by running backs. LeGarrette Blount had only converted one touchdown this year, which led to this trade because Blount just was too inconsistent, from my estimation, for the Eagles to take. So you got Ajayi, another big back, does not get up and down the field as quickly as you might like, and I think that might have contributed to his eventual demise in the as a Miami Dolphin. Was just the performances this year, it just didn't seem as though he ran as hard as he could have. You know, it could also be a fact that the Dolphins were looking to send a message to the locker room, and if that was the case, message received, it was a dumb trade on their part because a fourth round pick for a starting running back is not getting proper valuation. But looks like Mike Tannenbaum and Adam Gase, the head coach, are trying to turn over the locker room and see maybe if they get a couple of guys out the door, you can go from there. Surprisingly, they made that move, but they didn't trade Jarvis Landry. But Landry is the heart and soul of that team, so they may try to work it out with him in the offseason, even though Landry's looking for another monster deal, and much like Odell, because they're best friends, you know, it'd be a deal where the team ultimately is going to be overpaying for their starting wide receiver. So you had that trade go down. Also, in terms of a couple other moves, Seattle acquired a left tackle in Dwayne Brown from the Texans. To me, this is a huge deal. If you've been a holder of any Seattle running back, so for those of you still holding on to Thomas Rawls or Eddie Lacy stashed on your bench, I would say this is good for you. If you got Seattle wide receivers, Doug Baldwin, if you have Russell Westbrook, Russell Wilson, I would say I would say Russell Wilson owners should be very happy. That should give more stability to the team. This actually boosts their overall offensive ranking, in my opinion, now that they actually have a legitimate left tackle to kind of solidify that offensive line. All right, so the next big trade that happened was Kelvin Benjamin getting traded to the Bills. Now, this one was a real head-scratcher because the Bills had previously dealt Marcell Dareus out of town, and they had already, at the beginning of the year, traded Sammy Watkins to the Rams. You know, you're trying to figure out exactly what team's mindset is because the Bills have absolutely no wide receiver as to really do anything with. I mean, Jordan Matthews was a bust in Philadelphia. He is pretty much living up to that reputation in Buffalo. Not quite sure what the strategy was other than let's just get a wide receiver in here and hope he works out because the issue with Kelvin Benjamin is how healthy is his knee. He had a complete ACL tear in training camp back in 2015. You know, did not play well the following year. This year, he came into camp overweight. You know, it's not looking good in terms of how he's recovering from the knee injury, and the production wasn't there. I mean, Greg Olsen got injured with the broken foot early on this season, and Benjamin has not been able to step up. I mean, you've been seeing Devin Funchess step up. Christian McCaffrey leads the team in receptions because he plays better out as a wide receiver than he does as a running back, in my opinion. I don't think the McCaffrey pick's going to really help him that much, but that's another story for another day. But the issue is that if Benjamin isn't healthy, this is a terrible trade for the Bills. If he is someone healthy, then how was Benjamin not able to be utilized properly in Carolina? There's a lot of question marks with that deal. And, you know, this is a very confusing trade because from a Carolina standpoint, what do you tell Cam Newton? I mean, they lost Ted Ginn in the offseason. Cam wasn't happy about that because he still hasn't had a deep threat to replace Ted Ginn. You know, you're telling him that his tight end's gone. You don't make any moves. You don't bring in a Gary Barnage or anything. Then you have a trade out to Kelvin Benjamin. You know, this is a very bizarre. There's a very bizarre trade, to be honest. I'm not quite sure what the Bills are going for. They're 5-2, and they could make the playoffs for the first time in 17 years. And yeah, that is even a longer drought than the Browns not making the playoffs, if you can believe it. But you know, I'm not entirely sure if the Bills did enough here. I just think they could have gotten they could have tried a bit harder. But then again, when you trade that many guys, you're sending so many mixed messages out to the marketplace. I don't really know what the Bills' overall plan is, other than hope that they make the playoffs and you know they can get past the wild card round. So be it. But I mean, is that really worth like giving up a third round pick? The other deal that could have come out but didn't come out is the fact that you know you had teams that could have made deals and didn't do anything. The Colts are in a complete mess. Andrew Luck is, like I said before, if you have him on your fantasy roster, you really need to drop him by now. I'd be shocked if Andrew Luck throws a pass this year. You know, if you want to try to rush him back for a terrible team, by all means. But this is a waste of a year. T.Y. Hilton should have gotten traded. I don't see why you wouldn't try to get maximum value. There were teams that need a wide receiver. T.Y. Hilton brings value. You could have gotten multiple draft picks and actually set yourself up for next season. But then again, you know, with some of the busts that are already on that roster, like Dante Moncrief, maybe that's why I didn't do it from the. But that was a previous GM regime. But I don't get what the Colts are doing. To be honest, they should be tanking, and they should have traded T.Y. Hilton for the draft picks. I mean, now you're, or at least trade Vontae Davis. I mean, you have so many guys you could have traded. The Giants are another head scratcher. I figured a couple of guys would have gotten traded. Then the Giants suspend Janoris Jenkins for indefinitely for violating team rules. The Giants are a mess, and Jerry Reese is clueless about what the hell needs to be done about that team. The Dolphins, you trade J.J. and after Adam Gase says you have the worst offense in the league, and there's nothing added to the team. I mean, you sent a message to the team, but, you know, you trashed your own team. It's like you trashed your own team and then traded a guy out without bringing anyone else in. You know, this is it's pretty comical. And then the best tweet I actually read about that the Dolphin situation was breaking news: guy who signed Jay Cutler now sending message in air quotes to the locker room about effort and commitment. I mean, it is comical. I mean, you bring in Jay Cutler, and you're surprised that the effort and commitment isn't there from your team. I just can't. But, you know, this is it's very confusing what's going on with some of these teams. Because the other team, and, you know, of course it was the Browns, they were trying to trade for A.J. McCarron, the backup QB of the Bengals, but somehow missed the trade because they didn't inform the NFL ahead of the 4 o'clock deadline. Someone needs to get fired. I'm sorry. And I don't like calling for people's jobs, but that is inexcusable. Everyone knows how much time it takes, like how much time you're allotted to submit the proper paperwork to the league and be able to execute a deal. The fact that you couldn't get the paperwork done is inexcusable. I mean, it's literally the only job description where, like, they laid out in black and white what you have to do. And to say that you were looking for a mea culpa from the league saying, hey, can you give us an exemption here to get the deal done? I mean, you need to get your act together. I mean, you already have heat because you're the same regime that passed on Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson, and you can make a case for Jared Goff too, because they could have had Goff too, and you pass on everyone to then draft Deshaun Kizer, and then when you don't feel like you're getting a return on Deshaun Kizer in year one, you try to make a trade for A.J. McCarron, who's been a clipboard holder for the past 3 years. 3.5 years. I mean, what are we doing here? And I can't with some of these teams. It's just mind-blowing. So, that was the NFL in a nutshell. On the MLS front, we had a debacle here with New York City FC, the favorite seed in their first leg of the Eastern Conference semifinal, losing 4-1 to the Columbus Crew. That's going to be relocating in less than 2 years, most likely. And basically, NYCFC gives up an early goal, then goes down a man, and proceeds to leak goals like a sieve because they couldn't figure out their formations the rest of the game. I mean, I'll get into that with some folks on another day, but, I mean, in soccer, when you go down a man, you're supposed to play tight and controlled defense, not trying to score goals and give up more goals on the back end. Because, yeah, you're down a man. You don't want open play. You want to slow down play. But it's just comical how some of these teams are proceed to play, try to play soccer, I should say. Other matchups you had from yesterday, you had Toronto. I mean, from Monday, you had Toronto beat the Red Bulls out in New Jersey in the first leg. So basically, the Red Bulls need to have a tremendous comeback in Toronto to proceed forward in the playoffs. And then you had a nil-nil draw between the Houston Dynamo and Portland Timbers. So the Timbers going back to Portland and just need to win the game at home to advance. So moving on, because we're running a little bit short on time, you got a matchup coming up on Thursday night with the Bills and Jets. I mean, honestly, this is for a playoff spot potentially between the Bills and the Jets, which is comical when you think about it. Again, like I said, the Bills very confusing what they're trying to do. They're trying to go for it, even though they know they're not nearly good enough, and they don't trust their own quarterback. If they did trust Tyrod Taylor, they would have gotten him more weapons in the offseason, not taking away weapons. But you know, it is what it is. We'll see how Thursday night game goes. I actually like the Jets' chances, although don't ask me why. I just have a gut feeling that this Jets team will end up being 9-7, make the playoffs barely, then get bounced, and then have no draft picks. This is just culminating in just a pointless year for the Jets. But you know, their fans are happy, so leave it at that. Going into the hockey last night, the Rangers were playing the fourth string goaltender for the Vegas Golden Knights, Maxime Legacy. Literally, the fifth string goaltender was Dylan Ferguson of the Kamloops Blazers of the Western Hockey League in British Columbia. So literally, you had a kid flying from the western part of Canada to get to MSG last night, and for the most part, the Rangers were getting outplayed by Vegas. You know, down 4-2 heading into the third period, the Rangers surged back in the third with four goals to end up winning 6-4. But there's a lot wrong with the Rangers right now. You know, there's no back checking with the forwards. The defensive pairings are a nightmare. Lundqvist is out of position more often than not. There's so much wrong with the Rangers, and that game encapsulated it last night because you've got way too many moving parts and not enough guys just thinking through what they should be doing. So it took them being down two goals to a four-string goaltender and being embarrassed at home to wake up and actually execute in the third period. That's unacceptable, but that's the New York Rangers in 2017. They literally don't wake up until later on in games, until you get to the end of the second, early third, and then they start playing their best hockey. You know, you can't win this way long term, man. It's like there are too many good teams that know how to shut games down. Vegas, just doesn't have the roster depth because it's an expansion team to actually have defensive pairings that can lock a game down. But you're not going to win games at any consistent rate going that route. So, you know, as it stands, Rangers get a win, a much needed win, but whew, a lot of work needed with that squad. As for the Knicks, they won three in a row. I honestly was surprised that they actually won three games in a row this year, let alone did it in the first couple of games of the year. They beat the Nuggets. The offense is actually moving again. Hey, shocker. The ball's moving now that Carmelo's gone. Who would have guessed? But yeah, in terms of the Knicks, you know, I'm still sticking to the fact that 15 games is probably a reasonable guess for the Knicks. Maybe they'll get it up to 20, but I still think that the extended losing streak is coming. It's just a matter of time, not. But hey, I've been wrong before. I would like to be wrong about the Knicks, but it seems as though there's still a potential deal that there's still a potential that they could make it a better case for this. So I will wrap up the show now because it's that time again. But yeah, game seven tonight. We got plenty more coming up in terms of the NFL this week. So that's all for now, and have a good one.
The most talked about position in all of sports, the quarterback. And now there's a show solely dedicated to the most sought after role on the field, Celebrity QB, featuring four-time Super Bowl champion coach Charlie Weiss. Unlike other football shows, you'll get the inside scoop on all things quarterbacks. Like, is this the year Tom Brady finally looks his age? Will dating Danica Patrick distract Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, he's dating Danica Patrick, Charlie. We're interested in that, you know?
Well, I mean, Tommy's got Giselle. I'll take Giselle, okay?
Is Dak Prescott good enough to win a Super Bowl for the Cowboys? Which rookie quarterback has the best shot of making a positive impact in 2018?
How about intellectually, Charlie, as far as what they ask the quarterbacks to do now?
The game has changed, but the pressure that's put on quarterbacks, and it's always been put on quarterbacks, is tremendous.
Join Charlie Weiss and co-host Steve Strout on an all-new podcast from Lasting Media, exclusively about quarterbacks. Subscribe now at Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to great podcasts. Celebrity QB, everyone's favorite position.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.